Let's pray together this morning. Father, I do thank you that that you are a God that is worthy of that kind of a song. Lord, that you would be our vision. That everything that we see in this world around us would be seen through your perspective. That you would open up the eyes of our heart. That we could see you, and then by seeing you, we're really ready to see the rest of the world. That as Jesus has come as the light of the world to help us to see, Father, I pray that we would not turn out the light. I pray that we would not look in the other direction. But that fully in his face we would gaze. That we would turn our eyes upon him. And the things of this world then will come into place. Father, I pray that you would meet every single need here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. This is a bit of a special day today. We're going to be doing a Stephen Ministry commissioning ceremony, which is exciting. And before we do that, we're going to receive our offering. But before we do that, I want to just mention, if you're here for the very first time and didn't get a chance to stop at our Welcome Center, then on the right-hand side of the bulletin is something we call the connection card. And we would love for you to fill that out and drop it either in the offering plate as it gets passed here in a moment, Or you can put it in one of those black boxes in the back. We'd love to have a record of you being here. We'd love to be able to write you a note, email, something like that, saying thank you for coming. I guess we'll go ahead and send the kids back now. So kids, you can head on back to junior worship. I always forget that. So it's because my kids aren't that age anymore. That's why I forget that. Kids, you can head on back there. And again, thank you for all the volunteers who are doing that. Kids are welcome to stay up in the service with you if you want. But then we also provide a junior worship back there, so they're headed all back there. Clarissa, if you'd put up the offering thought for me as we get ready to receive our offering today. Just went back to an oldie but goodie today from the book of Romans. I'd like us to read this together if we could. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Wait a minute, just stop for a second. Isn't it great that as Church of the Brethren, so much of the Bible is actually written to us in particular? You know, you never see, I beseech you, therefore, Presbyterians, all right? It's not in the Scripture. I beseech you, therefore, Baptists. Not in the Scripture, all right? I beseech you, therefore, non-denominational. It's not in the Scripture. Anyway, let's start over. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Sometimes when we think about the word offering, we think, but this is a reasonable service, right? When we become a follower of Jesus, we don't get fire insurance. We say, you know what, we're gonna give our whole life to you. So this verse just reminds us that we get an opportunity to present our bodies, which includes everything, our time, our talent, our treasure, everything, to him. And so as the music plays, and as we receive this, there's no obligation to place money in an offering plate. Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. So if you can't give cheerfully, then just don't give at all. But think about this scripture as we take this time this morning. Thank you. guys very much. I want to invite Tracy Erickson and Alicia Showers to come on up. They are our Stephen Ministry leaders, and they're going to walk us through the Stephen Minister commissioning service. You probably need a microphone, I'm guessing. You got that already taken care of. Great, super.
I'd like to call the Stephen Minister trainees up who are going to be commissioned. Dear sisters, you have been equipped to serve as Stephen ministers to our faith community at Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren. You have learned to be compassionate, full of faith, skilled, trustworthy, and Christ-centered. Listen now to the words we find in Scripture. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Jesus Christ you are serving. Sisters, each of you has been comforted by God with the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for you. We ask you now to join in serving our Lord and those in our congregation and neighborhood who need to be comforted. As the Lord Jesus has responded to your needs, we ask you to strive to be responsive to the needs of others.
As the Lord Jesus took the burdens of the world on his shoulders and has been a friend to you in troubled times, we ask you to be a friend to those who are burdened under the stress of daily life. As the Lord Jesus patiently listens when you turn to him, we ask you to be a patient listener in a hurried world.
As the Lord Jesus has broken down the barriers that separated you from God, we ask you to heal divisions wherever you find them and strive to make people whole. As the Spirit of Christ has given you gifts for service, we ask you to use your skills and talents to help those people whom you serve and to pray for them.
As the Lord Jesus has shown his care to you, we ask you to help this congregation grow as a caring community through your own caring ministry. As the Lord Jesus has revealed his presence to you through faith, we ask you to share your personal experiences of faith with those around you so that they too may celebrate the presence of Christ in our world today.
Are you prepared to meet those requests that we ask of you? If so, answer yes with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
Are you prepared to nurture the skills you have learned and use them in service to others to support, encourage, build up, and comfort people in all their needs?
Yes, with the help of God.
Now we ask you, the faith community here at Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren, to open your hearts to this ministry for these people and to pray for each of our Stephen ministers so that they may be effective servants of Christ. Are you, as a faith community, prepared to meet this request? If so, answer yes with the help of God.
Yes.
We also ask that you accept their ministry when you need help, to allow these individuals to work with you as you face struggles in your life so that you might receive support and help from your fellow Christian brothers and sisters. If you are prepared to meet this request, please say yes with the help of God.
Yes.
And are you ladies prepared to serve as Stephen ministers at Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren?
Yes, with the help of God.
Come forward now and receive the anointing of the Lord.
What we're going to do now is I'm going to pray for each one of these ladies and anoint them, and David's going to play the song. We're going to sing Make Me a Servant. So if you would sing that in the background as I pray for them, I would appreciate that.
Humble and meek. Make me a servant. Make me a servant today. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. And may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today. Servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today.
Because you have promised faithfully to serve the Lord Jesus and his people as Stephen ministers, I commend you to the care and guidance of the Holy Spirit as you in turn care for others. Work hard. Use the skills you have learned, releasing the gifts and talents the Spirit of God has given you, so that you might be a blessing to the people you meet and care for. Continue to study. Reflect upon the situations you encounter. Pray for the people whose lives you are privileged to share. Be free to share your own personal frustrations and needs with others, so that you might receive the same kind of care and love you offer others. Act boldly and without fear, for Christ is with you. And may the God of peace sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's pray together. Father God, we ask you to take our sisters Linda and Susan and Kelly and Carol and take them into your care. You've blessed them with particular gifts and talents and have provided them with an opportunity to learn more about helping people. May they serve you with the power of the Holy Spirit. May they be quick to serve, patient in listening, willing to share themselves with people. Give all of us thankful hearts for them and show them in times of stress and satisfaction a special measure of your mercy and joy. Keep them strong in the faith you've given them for the sake of Jesus, who cares for all of us in every way forever. Amen. Alicia's going to be passing out goodie bags for them. They've worked hard completing 50 hours of training, and the bags have stuff to continue to equip them, like Bible promise books and devotionals for caregivers, as well as some of the things that they're going to need as tools for their trade. So as she gives you your bag, I would just say to you, go in peace and serve the Lord. Thank you. And for you guys, oh, you can clap. You can clap. You guys worked hard. You guys. With this commissioning, we now are going to be able to provide care for 8 people. We need to make it 9 and 10 and 20. So with that said, we're taking applications for our new Stephen Minister training that will start in the fall. And we're especially looking for men. As we did this preparation for obtaining care receivers, we had a list of a lot of men that need care, and we can't provide that. Part of the Stephen ministry is women minister to women, men minister to men. So we're fervently praying that God speaks to the men in the congregation, as well as more women, and that we will be able to serve more, starting with applications over the summer and training in the fall. So please talk to me and Alicia, because there's 9 and 10 and 20 and more people here. So thank you very much for your prayers during the training. Continue to pray as they start their supervision next month. Sorry.
Thank you, Tracy. I went through most of the training. I missed a couple of classes, but it's really valuable training. It's really good. It helps you in all aspects of your of your life, helps you in your relationships. It's just a really good thing. So again, please be open to what God might be. It's a big time commitment, but it's time well spent. And it's really in the lives of other people, time well invested. So I want to encourage you to do that. There will be four additional ladies being commissioned in the second service today. And as Tracy mentioned, we're excited that they've already been matched with care receivers. And so we're excited to see this ministry that has been planted and watered now begin to bear fruit. We are going to continue with our sermon series on the second of 3 weeks, talking about this idea of vision. So if you could put my notes up there, Clarissa, I would appreciate that. And today, last week, we looked at this idea of physical sight, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But today, we're going to look at, from the book of Nehemiah, kind of a part one and part two, this idea of what does vision look like in the real world? What does vision look like when we put some meat to it, some bones to it, and what are some characteristics or key characteristics of that particular idea of vision? So again, just as a bit of review, we want to make sure that we see what God has for us at Buffalo Valley. We want to make sure as a congregation, as a collection of individuals, that we see that which God has for us to see and to accomplish in terms of ministry in our community and around the world. Last week, we talked a little bit about this idea that physical sight and vision are related to spiritual sight and vision. And we talked a little bit how that just like in physical sight, you need light in order to be able to see. Your eye just simply receives reflected light that comes off the objects that you and I see. And the way that you see certain colors in the world is because there are certain light or the wavelengths of certain light that are reflected back off of the blue dye that's in my shirt or whatever it is you might be wearing or the maroon dye that's in the chair. And that's the light, the wavelength of light that you see. You don't see the other wavelengths. They're absorbed. And so in a very real way, you see that which is reflected back to you because of the light. And we talked about how that's kind of how vision works in terms of the spiritual world. We want to be able to see that which God is reflecting back off of his world for us to see. We cannot see and do everything. There's no church that can do everything excellently. All of the needs, all of the opportunities that are out there in this world, there's no way that Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren or any other church in Mifflinburg or any other church around the world can meet all of those needs at any one time. But God is going to reflect stuff back to us. He's going to show us what it is that he has for us to do. And then the task for us is to see that and then join him in what he's doing. Because we don't want to do something that God hasn't given us a vision to see. We can accomplish some things, but they're not going to be supernatural. They're not going to be the things that God wants us to do. So what we're going to do next Sunday during our Sunday school hour, which I want to highly encourage all of you to make it through the summer with us, we're going to spend the first 6 weeks of that dividing up into groups and looking at this idea of vision. What does God have for us to see? Because again, there is no entity called Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren. Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren is just a collection of individuals who are gathered together. So as whatever it is that you see is what the church is supposed to see. So as we gather together in groups starting next week, we're going to look at that, and you're going to have an opportunity to talk. You say, oh, I'm not one of those people who likes to talk. I just like to listen. You won't be put on the spot. You won't be going around the room and say, okay, we've been waiting 15 minutes for you to speak now. Please speak. We're not going to do that to you. But you might find out that you like to talk anyway. I find that spouses sometimes, one spouse will say, I don't really like to talk, and the other spouse will go, like that. Really? But anyway, we'd love for you to come out and be a part of that. We're going to gather here in this room next week during our Sunday school hour and divide up into classes, and it'll be a lot of, I hope it'll be interesting not only from the church perspective, but also interesting to you as we study and meditate on certain scriptures. All right. Next slide then says that, as a bit of review again, God has put this group of people together to see the aspects of God's plan that he wants us to accomplish. Right? I don't think it's an accident that people come to churches. I don't think it's an accident. God has a vision. God has a plan. God puts people together. He uses this description of the body to describe the church. He puts people together I'm sorry, I just got thrown off my game because Steve White's clean shaven. I haven't seen that in a long time. And I'm sorry, if you wonder why, I heard about something about this on Facebook, and I just looked over, and I just got thrown off my game for a second. I apologize, Steve, for no pictures. Okay, all right. That was just weird. I've never seen that. I've been here for 3.5 years. I've never seen that before, and I just, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm going to say now. So God has put this group of people together to see the aspects of God's plan that he wants us to accomplish. All right, so moving right along. Our example of vision is the man Nehemiah. We do not know if Nehemiah was clean-shaven or not. All right, we don't know that, but we do know something about him. We know that Nehemiah was Jewish by faith, right, by his belief, and then by his descent. And as we talked in the Made for TV BC series, God often used his prophets to warn Israel of the fact that there would be judgment for them if they did not listen. If they did not obey, if they did not love and serve God, there would be judgment. God said, I will remove you from the land that I have given you. And he actually does do that. And the last bit of that takes place in 586 BC under King Nebuchadnezzar in the nation of Babylon. And if you go through the Bible, then you find out, well, actually, if you go through church, go through world history, you'll find out that Nebuchadnezzar and the kings of Babylon were overtaken by the nation of Persia. And so by the time we get to the time of Nehemiah, no longer Babylon's not really a player anymore. Babylon has been captured by Persia. And Nehemiah is a Jewish man who serves as the cupbearer to the king. So he serves a very important role in the cabinet, if you would, of the king. And so he has access, he has influence with the king. And so he serves there in this particular place. But you can tell, as we're going to read in a second, that his heart is still back in his homeland. Some people have begun to go back now to Jerusalem, to the city of Jerusalem, and to begin to rebuild things. But as we pick the scripture up here in just a second, you'll see that things are not going particularly well. I want to talk about three things as it relates to vision today. And the first one is this, that vision proceeds from practical needs and prayer. We think about this idea of vision, and it's not just an esoteric concept. It's something that we really need to be able to see. But then how does that develop? How does God help us to see what the vision is individually for us and then for a church? So let's read the first few verses of chapter 1 of the book of Nehemiah. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month of Kislev in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, this is really hard to get through, but that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with me from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem, and they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. So a couple of things that come out of these verses to me. Number one is this idea that burden is born from a practical need. All right, a practical need. In your notes, it says that Jerusalem needed the wall and the morale of the people to be rebuilt. All right, the morale of the people was down and the wall of the city was down. Now, we may not think too much about the idea of walls of cities. There's some political discourse these days about walls, but we don't have a wall around Mifflinburg, and we don't need a wall around Mifflinburg. But the idea was back in that day, there was no sort of, it was a lot of lawlessness, you know, a lot of things that raiders, bands of thieves and things traveling around. And so you needed this wall to kind of serve as a way to keep the bad people out, okay, to keep people out that you didn't want in. And so it had become associated with a necessity for the city, but also then it was a morale idea for the people that when a city did not have a wall, then it wasn't really a city, or at least it was a weak city. But to have a wall meant that you had protection and you had status and that you had stability. And so Nehemiah finds out that the wall needs to be rebuilt. And also along with that, then the morale of the people also needs to be lifted. And a wall, as I said, was a practical need for protection. It was a practical thing. It was something that they needed. So as we think about the vision for Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren, we have to ask ourselves, what is something practical, or what are things that practically need to be accomplished in this world, here and perhaps around the world, that God would have us to do? Because that's how God works, right? God is not just this sort of pie in the sky kind of thing that we worship. He's engaged in the world. If you've ever done the Experiencing God Bible study, which I know has been done here in the past, one of the studies that impacted me the most is this idea that God is at work in the world around us, and he invites us to join him, right? He's not looking for me to come up with ideas. He's not looking for you to come up with ideas. In the vision analogy, the light is already being given off and the reflection is coming. We just need to see it. We need to understand what are the practical things that God would involve us in. How can God use us in his world, in our world, for his good and our glory? How can God use you And then collectively, Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren, for his good and for our good, excuse me, and his glory. I did that wrong. It was supposed to be for his glory and our good. And I typed that up right wrong. Sorry about that. Now, the other thing I like about this idea, about the practical aspect of this, is that there's a component of prayer that's also mixed in. Now, if we were to read the whole thing, we won't take time, but if you want to go home and read verses chapter 5 through 11, or Nehemiah's, contain Nehemiah's prayer. And Nehemiah doesn't use prayer to validate what he wants. Right? He doesn't go to God and say, okay, God, this is what I want you to do. And as I thought about this, I thought about Stephen ministry. Because it was sometime over a year ago when there was this sense of an understanding that there were individuals in our congregation who needed help, who needed someone to speak to, who may have needed, even we were thinking back in that time, do they need professional counseling? There were all kinds of things that we were thinking about, ways in which we needed to take care and address this particular need. And so a group of people were formed, and they met together, and they talked together, and they prayed together. And out of that came Stephen Ministry. If I have my facts straight, no one really even knew Stephen Ministry was when the process began. But we wanted to have our eyes open. I wasn't involved in that team. There were others involved in the team. They wanted to keep their eyes open for God to be able to show them what it is that he had for us, and he showed Stephen Ministry. It wasn't, God, we want to do Stephen Ministry. Please bless Stephen Ministry. God helped us to see what it was that he had for us, how it is that he could help us to meet the needs that we saw here in the congregation. And as Tracy mentioned, there are many, many more, and we would like many, many more ministers as well. But have you ever used prayer in this way? You know, to just kind of validate what you want. You, God, here's what I want to see. Bless it. God, here's what I want you to do. Bless it. And the danger in the concept of developing a church vision is for us to just kind of figure out what it is that we want to do, what it is that we're comfortable with, and say, God, okay, bless this, and then we make a new logo or we put something on a button or a cup or a t-shirt or whatever it is that we would do. That's not what we want to do. We want, through individuals gathering in groups, to ask God what it is that the vision either needs to be refined, changed, adapted for Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren to meet the needs of a world that is ever changing around us. So, vision is born out of this idea of a practical need, and of course, it has to be accompanied with prayer. Number two, vision is communicated clearly. Thus the song before the service started this morning, I can see clearly now the rain is gone. Right? And wasn't it nice that it was sunny out today too? Vision is communicated clearly. Nehemiah said to the king, if it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Right? This is the vision that God has given me, king, and I need you to make it happen, and so here we go. So communicated clearly, not this sort of nefarious kind of thing, you know, we serve for the glory of God. Well, sure we do, but there needs to be something more to that than all of that, all right? We need to communicate it more clearly. So here's a couple of slides that kind of roll through this. God communicates his vision to us, right? We want God's vision communicated to us. God came to Nehemiah and gave Nehemiah a vision to go and rebuild the wall of the city of Jerusalem. God knows what he wants us to see. God knows all of that. He's not looking for me and he's not looking for you to figure it out. He's just looking for us to see that which he has reflected to us. Then we communicate God's vision to others, right? We as a church communicate the vision that God has given to us. It's not going to be the same as every other church. Sometimes different churches have different visions. It doesn't make one right. It doesn't make one wrong. It doesn't make one more important than the other. It just makes them different. And the tragedy in all of this is that many, many no longer seem to know what the church is focused on. You know, many in our country, in our culture, don't understand what the church is all about. And that's not their fault. That's the church's fault. You know, there are many churches that are known for their sales. Or their dinners. And we do some of that here. We have this incredible event every year, the auction every year that's just incredible. We have people from the community that come out. But God help us. If people think about, if we did a survey in Mifflinburg or and other places and said, you know, what do you think about Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren? And they said, auction. Now, I don't think they would say that, but I mean, that would be terrible if they said that. Or if they said, kettle cook. Wow. Yeah, we do those things, and we do those things to provide resources for the church ministry, and the kettle cook provides, it wasn't that long ago, just a few weeks ago, that we paid out over $4,000 to people in our community, not in our church family, people in our community who had unmet medical bills that they were trying to pay. And we were a blessing to them by just paying those bills for them. And that comes through the kettle cook and some other things that men's ministry does. But I don't want that to be what we're known for. Right? That's not the purpose. Jesus didn't say, and on this rock I will build my church and you will have great suppers. You know? Go into all the world and cook the soup. Yeah. Silly, right? But you and I know, and you probably can think of some churches that you know of around where you live, or relatives that you, that's what they're known for. That's what the people would say. I don't know what else they're about. They're about the suppers, or they're about the whatever. I want that. I don't think it's the case here. But if we don't work at it, we'll slip into that. So what is the church focused on? Another way of sort of thinking this is that life is way too short and too valuable to not know and communicate God's vision for each of us. I mean, think about this in terms of eternity, right? I mean, come on, if eternity is really real, I mean, if you are really going to live forever in heaven, if you know Jesus, you're really going to live forever in heaven. I mean, think about it, really, you're really going to live forever in heaven. You've got how many years here before that happens? I mean, even if you're, you know, the average lifespan, I think, for women is in the early 80s. Average lifespan for men is 78, 79, something like that. What is that in terms of eternity? Nothing, right? It's like a grain of sand. But this is our time then. This is our time to make a difference for eternity. Not only our time to come into a relationship with Christ and to trust Christ and to be have our sin forgiven and go to heaven. It doesn't end there, right? Then we're supposed to serve and follow and help others and go and do all those things that make a difference for eternity. And this time that you have is way too short, way too brief, and way too valuable to waste it without a compelling vision of what God has for you and what the church that you associate with has to offer to the world around it. It's way too short. That's why this is so valuable to think about and to talk about. Not so that we can print new t-shirts, not so that we can print new posters, but so that we can fully say to God, you know what, God, I am all in the time that you have given me. I really want to serve you. And if you don't, I say, I don't really know that God is, maybe you're thinking, I don't really know that God is worthy of that kind of commitment of me, then we want to help you to come to that conclusion because he is. He is. Number three, vision is born from a burden. So it was, this is verse 4 again, when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Can you see how deeply Nehemiah felt about this? He was burdened for the walls of Jerusalem, for the people of Jerusalem. It was a burden to him. Burden is something that reflects passion and priorities. What really burdens you? What brings tears to your eyes? You know what? It's different for different people in the room, right? You know, some people are just really passionate about the plight of children. And they're just really passionate about that. And they really want to do all they can to help children. Other people, it's not that they don't care about children. It's just that that's not really their burden. Maybe their passion is more for the elderly. Some people are really geared on this idea of things in our own culture, in our own context, in America. And others are passionate about the world, things out there. It's not that they don't care about the people here in the world. It's just that that's not where their burden lies. God has given them something else to see. God has reflected something else off into their spiritual sight that motivates them and that burdens them and that even brings them to tears, if need be, to try to help and assist in that area, in that realm. burden reflects passion and priorities. What we want to find out here at Buffalo Valley is that God has brought people together. What are the what are the burdens that you have? Right? What keeps you awake at night? I know what puts you to sleep at night, my sermons, but what keeps you awake at night? What are you concerned about? I believe that is an extension of what God is reflecting to us. And then what God is going to equip us to change. Individual burdens then coalesce into the burden of the church, right? Individual burdens then coalesce into the burden of the church. And one thing that we're going to talk a little bit more about next week is this idea that burden for the vision gets us through the difficult times. Right? If you're really passionate about something, then you are willing to overcome almost any obstacle to make it happen. Right? Have you ever like taken a bone or something that your dog really wanted and tried to like hide it somewhere or try to put it somewhere where you know he can't get it? Or sit inside. I mean, they just dig for. They just try to do whatever they can to get that bone because they have a passion for that bone. And I can promise you that in Nehemiah's day, which we'll look at next week, and in our day, the obstacles are only going to get greater. The impediments to accomplishing the things of God are only going to grow in our culture. So will we be passionate about them? And if it's just something that we think, oh, this is a good thing, we should do this, as soon as the obstacle comes up, we'll just out, quit. But if we're passionate about it, if we're burdened for it, with God's help, we'll overcome all the obstacles and be able to serve him. So last slide, maybe you'd like help to clearly see God's vision for your life. Again, this is really sort of part one. You got to come back next week to get part two. But maybe you would like help to clearly see God's vision. Maybe that song that we sang in the beginning doesn't fit for you. You can't really see clearly now. There's a fog. Could be because of sin. Could be because of a bad example of somebody else in your life. You know, if they're a Christian, then I don't want to follow Jesus. Maybe we can help you with that. Maybe we can help you lift that fog with God's help so that you can plug in. Again, folks, I don't know what all of you do with all of your time, but I know that this, the privilege of following Christ, the privilege of serving him, the privilege of accomplishing the things that he wants us to see, there is nothing more important than that. Nothing more important than that. Or maybe you'd like to talk to someone about your burden for ministry. You know, I don't want to wait till Sunday morning in the Sunday school class next week. I need to talk about something. I'm really burdened about this. We're here to listen. You know, Eric Dean and I, who work on the staff here, and Jody's our assistant, we don't sit around in a room and figure out, okay, what does the church need to do now? We look for that to come from you. We just want to facilitate that. So let's continue on this journey. Let's see what God wants us to see, individually and then collectively. And then we'll be able to look back and go, wow. Because when God is engaged, when we're engaged with him, there's no stopping what he's going to do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for, again, for the fact that you want to involve us in these things. That you seek to involve your people in your activity. Father, I pray that you would help us to see the practical things that ways in which you're working in this world. I mean, something like Stephen Ministry is so practical. Putting together an individual with another individual, having them meet maybe up to at least once a week to talk, to share, to pray, to listen. This is so incredibly practical and so necessary. Lord, there are other ways in which this congregation is already invested in the community in very practical ways and around the world, and we just ask you to help us to see if that's what we're to continue to do, if there are things that we're to add, if there are things that we're to change. Because you are a very practical God. Jesus didn't just walk by the sick people and say, pray for you. He healed them. He fed them. He met their needs. Father, thank you for your promise to communicate the vision to us clearly, and I pray that we would discern it and see it. And then help us to communicate that vision to those around us so that as people think of us as individuals, they really don't even think of us as a teacher or a husband or a mom or a student or whatever it is that we might be, quote unquote. When they look at us, they would think, you know, she follows this Jesus person. He follows this God that he talks about. May that be communicated to those around us. And may you, God, may you burden us. As you burden Nehemiah. In ways that then motivate us to overcome whatever obstacles are in our way to accomplish what you want us to accomplish. Father, I pray as we sing that we would also just be reminded of your incredible love for us. For those who are here this morning, they're like, I'm not really sure that I know this God or that this God is worthy of this kind of devotion for me. I pray, God, that you would move them to seek out somebody to get that question answered and get that information. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.